a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled. It's a game day edition of Unrivaled. We are here at the Murdoch Hyundai in Linden. So if you're headed down to the game, maybe take a slight detour. You can put in for a tailgating kit right here, two tailgating chairs, the grill and the cooler, plus the Oreos and the chips, which is the one that is the most tempting to us, probably, I'd say. Right, Scott? So come down. You can hang out. You can put your name in for that one. We have got a lot to talk about. Sources now, I think it was Pete Thamel was the most recent one. I saw a bunch of folks saying that Logan Bonner is listed as not playing, not dressing for Utah State tonight, apparent leg injury. And Cooper Laga, the kid out of Orem High School who had quite a he had quite a bowl game in the L.A. Bowl, led Utah State to a victory over Oregon State down in L.A. This is a guy who's here local. People like him a lot. But I think this is pretty depressing for a lot of Utah State fans who I think were wondering about what exactly was going to happen. But I think it's been confirmed by sources. They are, if you're tuning in right now, you're not going to see Logan Bonner starting at quarterback for Utah State tonight. You're going to see Cooper Laga out of Orem High School. That's a massive bummer because you already had a massive injury that Logan Bonner had to deal with last year, off-season surgery. And then you get a couple games in and you've got to go right back to the drawing board when it comes to rehabbing. On the personal side of it, like from that side, Scott, it's a huge bummer, I think, because Logan Bonner is a baller. And he's been, you know, he's the only quarterback to ever bring a Mountain West Conference championship to this school. And it's a real bummer to have him out.
Well, and you saw the production he had a year ago, and he was prolific and had a great year. And he's one of these guys that, you know, he plays tough. He hangs tough in the pocket. He makes great throws. And when you're an athlete and things aren't going well, the last thing in the world you want is to have to leave the game and you have to get, whether it's injury or whatever reason, because you always feel like I'm one play away from turning this all around. And when you've invested everything, you're the guy out there taking all the shots and making all the plays, and you know, you don't want to be sidelined, and you don't want to be part of how to make the team better. And so it's a hard thing to get injured and to be out, and especially when your team's kind of struggling and they need that stability, they need your leadership and your talent. And so not a fun position for anyone to be in, but you know, on the other side of it, you know, getting a chance to play and for the next guy up is, you know, always one of those things that, you know, it can end up being a good thing. It really can. So we'll see where it ends up. But the thing you learn about football is it just goes on, right? It's with injuries. You know, we heard Kyle Whittingham talking about Brant
next man
Keithy,
up, next man up. Yep.
And that's just the cold hard reality of football. And you just go, we'd love to sit here and commiserate with you. That's what your family's for. But the team, you know, it has to go on. I mean, it's just the cold, hard truth of, about everything. And unfortunately, it does.
One of the things that we were wondering about with this whole deal, with this team, you know, with BYU getting set for today, because you have on one side Logan Bonner, who's, you know, injured. And I don't know how long that's going to have to be figured out. But He just had this bad injury last year, and then if he's got another leg injury of the same nature, then that's a massive bummer. On the flip side, you've never seen more I guess that the positive vibes for Jaren Hall, the amount of pub he's getting as a guy who, and I, you know, there's part of me too, Scott, that maybe I'm a cynic sometimes. I just don't know if guys have it sometimes, and I don't know what to believe on one side or the other. But when I read that these analysts are saying, hey, Jaren Hall, and I saw it just over the past 24 hours even, people putting Jaren Hall in that top three, top four, top five quarterback in the draft for next year, it's nice to have these games. I mean, it's nice to have big games. It's nice to be on TV. That's why being on TV on a Thursday night like this, when you're the only game in town, it matters, because all that does, if you have a decent game, if you have a really good game, it just keeps that ball rolling momentum-wise.
So Jaren Hall has a look that, you know, you've seen in the NFL. It looks like Russell Wilson. Not Russell Wilson playing for the Denver Broncos, but the Super Bowl-winning Russell Wilson. And Jaren Hall is athletic. He comes from a baseball background. The thing that I think has been a big improvement for me from this year and last for Jaren is his arm strength. Watching him throw the ball down the field, he's throwing it actually more efficiently down the field than most guys in college. Like he really understands ball position on those downfield throws, and that's a lot of the difference between college and the NFL is ball placement and the timing of throws. You know, he kind of holds the ball a little bit right now, you know, getting it out quicker, making some quicker decisions. But the other part of him is like extremely athletic.
Yeah,
I mean, and that translates into,
and the arm strength was the big question.
He's more athletic than Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
you know, and probably has as strong an arm as Zach Wilson. And you know, and I get so tired, and it's a really worn out phrase, because it's BS for the most part. This whole off platform throw thing.
What? It's what we love to say. It's guys, not off platform, off schedule. Scott, come on.
Well, no, it was off platform. It's off whatever.
It's
off whatever. Off whatever. It's like. It's like this is football, and you're never going to just drop back and sit and have a clean pocket every single play.
Right.
And that's been from the beginning of time. This isn't something new. It's not something that these guys have all of a sudden developed. Quite frankly, Patrick Mahomes has kind of ruined it for everyone, because he's the only – like, everyone doesn't throw like that.
Right.
But everyone throws well enough on the move.
But everybody gets compared to, can they throw like that? Yeah.
And he can. And so
– what about his size? You know, I know a lot of people bring up a lot about the 6'1", and he's a legit 6'1", and people look at it and go – and Zach Wilson
– well, just look at Kyler Murray. Look at Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. Look at – there's a lot of guys. Like, height, you never throw over people, ever. So it's even for a guy as tall as I am, you don't throw over people, and you throw through lanes. It's where you throw. And so
when people go, oh, you can't see over those linemen.
It's an overrated like metric.
It's a little bit of a – so the guy who –
can he throw it on time, and can he throw it in the right spot? That's really all that matters.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it really is. I don't care if you're 4'1". If you can throw it on time to the right spot – you're going to be very successful as a quarterback in the NFL. Can you make that decision, and can you deliver it in the right spot? You will do very well.
Todd McShay threw it out there. He says, clear-cut top three quarterbacks in the 2023 class. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Will Levis, right? Will Levis is one out of Kentucky.
And you know what he is? He's the new iteration of Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Yeah. Some people say Matthew Stafford,
right.
kind of in a comp, right? And it says Tyler Van Dyke and Anthony Richardson are loaded with traits but have disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that Anthony Davis, that Florida game looks more and more like that
Richardson.
Guy. Or, yeah, sorry, Anthony Richardson, that game, everybody looks at that and goes, oh, my gosh, he showed
really
up for that
like
game.
It was really like one play. I mean, it was just scramble.
And his ability to be able to scare you on the RPO and just kind of sneak in that way.
Feels a little bit like Jamarcus Russell.
He's huge. Don't get me wrong. He's big and he's fast. But, you know, then it says this, the next part of his tweet. Talking to NFL scouts, here are the quarterbacks rising fast. BYU's Jaren Hall, UT's Hendon Hooker, and Fresno State's Jake Haener. And so getting talked about by Todd McShay.
So be clear about the UT. That's Tennessee, right?
Yes, yeah.
Not Hook'em Horns.
No.
But it's Hooker, right, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Hooker is not from Hook'em Horns.
No.
Okay.
No, that's I love the UT vibe. No. He's a Tennessee guy. Played at I think Virginia Tech before that. But this is one of those things, Scott, where I look at and I go, is this just based on the fact that and it helps to be seen. It helps to have your games on ESPN. It helps to have maybe that early game or that late game. But Jaren Hall starts to get this type of pub. So now what? I guess people look at it and go, so what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this publicity? What are you going to do with this type of attention? And you and I talk with him every week. He hates that kind of attention, or at least hates talking about it.
Do you know what's really hard? You know what's really hard about quarterbacks, just to start with?
Your people, yeah.
Like in the NFL? I don't think anybody knows.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I really don't. Just look, like all the names that we've named, and we get, I mean, Tom Brady going to go down as arguably one of the greatest of all time was like a six-round draft choice.
And nobody ever said, hey, here's my top five.
No, yeah.
Tom Brady in it. And on the flip side, you were in everybody's top five, six quarterbacks in the draft, and you waited till the fourth round of the draft.
Yeah, this isn't about me. Oh. Let's talk about some other people. But like Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson was a third-round guy.
Yeah.
But then you go, well, what about like, Zach Wilson? I mean, who would have thought he'd have been the second pick in the draft? And then you have Trevor Lawrence, and you go, huh? And then you go, you know, Justin Herbert, who's played fairly well. It's across the board on whether these quarterbacks pan out or they don't. And you look at Trey Lance, the 49ers, I thought they were going to, like, die if they didn't. They just found their guy. And I don't know if he's the guy. And then Mac Jones, you know, I mean, there's just you can go across the board with almost every quarterback. Dan Marino was like the fifth guy picked in the first round in 1983 and probably was the most talented, best quarterback in that entire draft.
The fifth quarterback he was taken.
But he was the fifth quarterback
taken.
Yeah. So I think teams I think it's a crapshoot.
So what is it then? What's the most important trait that Jaren Hall could have?
The most important trait for any quarterback, I've said it earlier, but I'll say it again, it's throwing the ball on time in the right spot. That's the most important thing. Can that guy deliver consistently, making good decisions and having accurate throws? Because you have to have them in the NFL. And there's a term, and you know, Marino used to say this all the time. He says you can't beat a perfect throw, and that's what a perfect throw is: on time in the right spot. And arm strength doesn't play into it. Being an athlete doesn't play into it. It's just can you process information and perform at a high level doing that? And you can't measure it. Like you can't measure it by Wonderlic scores or you can't measure it by 40 times or how far you can throw a football or how athletic you are. You can't measure any of it.
Speaking of guys, you just
have it or you don't.
Speaking of guys we've guessed on, and we still don't necessarily have a full beat on exactly where they are, and I would even say in the case of Joe Burrow, we don't totally know where he's at or where he's going to shake out to be. But Miami and Cincinnati facing off tonight, do you have any apology you want to issue to Tua Tagovailoa?
No, because I'm totally not convinced yet still. And again, it goes back to those two things.
He's the best quarterback in the league. They're 3-0. Scott, I don't know if you've heard that this week. The Miami Dolphins are undefeated, only AFC team that are undefeated. Yeah. They might as well be the 1972 Dolphins.
Let's see what happens after week four.
Could you imagine the 2022 Dolphins?
I know.
50 years after? It would be the only acceptable thing for that group of hater 1972, because that's what they are. The 1972 Dolphins, I think about this Roger Maris in Aaron Judge home run, right?
Hit 61.
He hit 61 last night, right? And the Maris family, I don't know how they're really feeling about it. If you're the Maris family, how would you feel? They broke dad's record, right? That's kind of a bummer. But well, but they have to have the nice face on, like, yay, thumbs up, like, look, congratulations to him. But you know what?
Let me
you know
give who doesn't do that? Let me give you some insight.
You know who has no grace? The freaking 72 Dolphins who are, oh, boy, get that dang music. This is a real song from a real hood. But they pop the champagne when teams lose.
And they so play
they
this
can,
song.
And they play this song. So they can still be the undefeated team and act like they're the only they're the only person. The best thing that ever happened to them was that Patriots team in 2012, in the 2012 Super Bowl, that didn't win the dang thing because Eli Manning beat them.
So anyone who's ever played in sports and who's ever remotely competitive hates it when their record's broken. So you're asking, how does the Maris family feel? They put a face on it, but behind all of it, they go,
they hate it.
We don't want to see this.
No.
We don't want to see this.
Their dad's legacy is that Roger Maris,
because
like 61.
You, when you play, you think you're the best. You want to be remembered as the best. You don't want to have anybody break all of your records. I've been around some really high-level athletes, and people were coming close to breaking their records.
And they were getting close to breaking their knees.
They were not happy about it. They were not happy about it.
I would just think, he's since passed away, and so you beat a record like that.
When you get older, what do you have if you're a former athlete?
That's your record.
You have your legacy. Yeah. You have your record. Here is my deal, right? And so the minute somebody comes along and they basically erase you from the world, like it's just like, phew, you're gone. And right, wrong, or indifferent, that's kind of the perception you have, because you can't go out and play anymore. So all you have is you have your stories that you lie about, and they get better and better as you get older, and you have your record. And that's it. That's why guys want to be in the Hall of Fame. Because you can't take away the Hall of Fame. And there are guys like Deion Sanders that are even like, well, I'm going to take it a notch up. It's like, I'm the best person in the Hall of Fame. And he can't even accept other people.
He's like, I don't want a gold jacket. I want the platinum jacket.
Right, I can't accept anyone else actually getting in here. And there's probably more people in sports that reach that level that think like Deion. He's not alone. He's just the one that's verbalizing it. Most of these people go, that guy got in? And it's like, well,
not
you know.
Not with Deion. They all know he shouldn't.
And it's like, well, that's nice that you're here. I would be interested to see the guys that are in the Hall of Fame that actually apologize to the other Hall of Famers. It's like, yeah, can you believe they let me in this building, you know, kind of thing. And it's a real thing. It's a real thing when these guys have their records broken or some kind of thing. And it's what makes them great, but it's also what makes them highly egotistical.
Are you one of those guys that goes, yeah, my numbers are pretty good, though. They compare with Terry Bradshaw, aside from the Super Bowls. I should be in the Hall of Fame.
See, I think it's foolish.
Because you threw 100 touchdowns.
I think it's foolish.
Yeah. Okay?
I think it's foolish to compare like an era. Like the way things were. I'm watching, for whatever reason, early this morning, the 1955 NFL championship game between the Cleveland Browns and the Los Angeles Rams. And I'm watching these guys play, and I'm going, like, no one on that field at that time could play on the field today. Like, just watching how they played, watching how they threw the football, watching how they ran. Even the officials it was just, like, comical how so slow motion everything was. And it looked like they were, you know, wearing, like, I don't know, spacesuits, you know, the uniforms they had. It's like, how could you move around in something so like binding and cumbersome and heavy? But it just evolves. And for that day, those were the best players. Those were the best teams. And nutrition, training, everything.
It's all gotten better.
It's like exploded. The rules in the game, everything's changed. And so who cares? Like, I hear players go, man, if I played today, I'd throw for 4 million yards. And it's like, you would hope, but maybe you wouldn't. You know, maybe you were designed for an era a long time ago. Who knows? But, who cares? You know, when you had your time and your opportunity, you made the most of how it was at that time, and that's what it is.
I'm going to be honest. I was never one of those people that thought that Jaren Hall really was like an NFL guy.
Yeah.
And maybe it was because we just never saw the arm strength until this year.
But
totally,
my point earlier, you don't know who an NFL guy is. No, right. I don't think anyone, you can't.
Even the guys who are in the NFL right now, we don't know if they're NFL guys.
I mean, okay, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like no, like he's an Ivy League guy,
yeah.
Very different, but he had the ability to play in the NFL, and don't ask me why. And so it doesn't. I don't care body type. I don't care athleticism. I don't care what college. I don't even care what kind of success you had in college. But I can tell you, I could tell you right off the bat, Tim Tebow, heck no. You know, Danny Werfel? No. Like, are you kidding? Gino Toretta?
So
come
you know,
on, no.
You know.
Not even no, but hell no. Sorry.
So you know the guys that you see that you go, no, they won't have a future. But you don't know the guys that will.
There's a lot of guys that just kind of jump out and surprise
the
heck out of
them. I'm just going to tell people right now, Scott's got to get that apology tour lined up because Tua Tagovailoa. Scott felt the same way about Tua.
He's still not there yet.
But
they've played three games.
Scotty threw six touchdowns and made a comeback.
Yeah.
Scotty won the Heisman Trophy for Alabama. Yeah. Scott, it's Tua Tagovailoa.
I'll tell you the guy that shocked me.
Who?
Like is absolutely floored me.
Who?
Jalen Hurts. That guy could not. He sucked in college. They had to get rid of him to get Tua. That's how bad he was. You got Tua for him.
Hey,
but that guy, I don't know what he did. I seriously do not know what he did.
I think you lost your touch, bro. I think you lost your touch. You're losing your touch here. You know, all these guys, you thought you knew what they were in college.
I'm making my point from earlier. You do not know. Because I will tell you right now, I would bet the house that Jalen Hurts. They said we didn't draft him to be a quarterback. We drafted him to be what's his name, the other quarterback at BYU.
Oh, what,
you know, the Swiss knife.
Oh yeah, to Taysom Hill.
It wasn't to be quarterback.
Here's the thing,
third down specialist.
I'm just gonna tell everybody right now. We talk about Taysom Hill all day, every day. So Scott doing the thing where he goes, "What's that guy's name who played for your school?" Out there, he threw the ball sometimes, and they broke his leg sometimes, and he jumped, and he was fast. He's a Swiss guy. He's from Switzerland. It's Taysom Hill, and you freaking know it.
No, I don't.
You're trying to act like you don't. Oh, no. I don't know who your team is down here, but come on.
It's the brain injuries. Leave me alone.
The old NFL CTE. We laugh about it now. Later, we'll go, you know, Scott really was losing his mind a little bit. You really did. You were affected by yesterday's thing where you go, I didn't say 1977. I said 78. And when we played it back, Scott went like, 1,000-yard stare. Goes, I'm out. Send me back to the NFL to get my test done. All right.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.